Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is the commandment, the Lord's great commandment. It's the greatest commandment. Folks, the Lord gave this commandment because he wanted us to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. And he also wanted us to love one another. And that's what really the message is on this morning, about loving one another and forgiveness and how we get through that and how we live with it. We're going to start out Matthew 22, 34 through 40. We're going to go to Matthew 6, 14 through 15. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Romans 12, 2 through 5. And Colossians 3, 9 through 15. If you can't keep up with them and haven't written them down, that's okay, folks. As I go through them, I'm going to read them out. When you get a chance, as we're going through them, write them down. This way here, you can look them up for yourself later so that you're not taking just my word for the word of God and you're learning on your own. Before we get started, we have a song for you this morning. We have some prayer requests. I'll do the prayer requests when we get done. But our song this morning is 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And I have to stop it about 2 minutes in, so... we'll be right back with prayer requests. Thank you for being here, and God bless you. I'm happy to be able to be here and share the word with you. So here's our song this morning. God bless you. Folks, we're going to go into the prayers. Thank you for being here. Like I said, and every Sunday I try to do the message. I try to get some prayers in there, friends of mine and friends around the world that have prayer requests. This morning's prayer requests, we have Sandy Washer, who's been a prayer warrior of ours for a long time now, has always sent in prayer requests when she has them. And today her prayers are for the Swan family. She asked many things going on there. Marion T., her overall health, battle with cancer, and decision to come back to Maine or stay in Virginia with her daughter. Cheryl Weiwei had a heart attack this past week, and I'm not sure, but it appears that everything is okay, but she can't keep having these. This is like the second one, and if it happens again, they're not sure how well things are going to work out for her. Cheryl's only about 47 years old, 47, 48 years old, so she's not that old, folks, and, you know, our time is limited on this earth. So we have to take it for what it's worth and praise God and ask for salvation. Catherine Carbone's going to have surgery on the 20th. This will be her second one on her eyes. Ruth Sutherland's home from residential care. She's been home, I think she came home yesterday, and she'll be home, I'm hoping, forever. But it appears that Ruth is getting older. She had fallen down, broke her arm. She wasn't doing so well. So I'm hoping everything goes well with her. I think she went home yesterday. I'm not quite positive. But anyways, let's please pray for Ruth Sutherland. Cheryl Ann, another Christian friend of ours who runs a child's prayer group, asked for Matt, her roommate, who's suffering from shingles. Michael Wagner, for strength to continue to keep going on with all that goes on with him. They found a tumor on his spine this past week. They want to be able to take that out of there. They're pretty sure that's going to be a success. Mark Warren, continuing to deal with health issues. Please pray for Mark Warren. Sylvia Caffrey asked for prayers for Joe for an interview on a job that he has coming up, and I'm not sure when that is, but please pray that he gets the job if he hasn't already gotten it. Prayers for my son-in-law to get a job, a call back on the job that he went for, and for his licensing for truck driving school. Get that out of the way. It's going to take him another couple weeks, but please pray for Johnny Estrada. Rebecca, my daughter, his wife dealing with issues during witnessing. She asked that we pray for Jose Martinez, Ricardo Rivera, Mickey Arroyo, and Melinda Meeker. And today her friend Danielle is going to go to church with her. Her and her fan, Danielle's family is going to church with her this morning. So pray that that turns out well also. Continued prayers for my mom-in-law, Jean St. Pierre, who's suffering from dementia. We put her in a new place to stay, residential care facility up in Canada a week ago. So please pray for her. Kimberly, Ann Kimberly is asking for prayer for her and her family. Please pray for the mission work at Crosswalk, which has to do with our pantries here in the local area. There's so many families that need to be provided for, and the work there and the ability that the community is reaching out now and going to help hopefully have a big community center built pretty soon in the next year or so, that would be done, and they'd be able to use that and utilize that to continue to bless the people and help the people within the surrounding area. But thank you. And if you could, please pray for me as I do the morning message. Pray for that, and pray for during the week for all the things that get done. People don't understand the work that it takes to continue to do all these things and the money that's there or not there most times, because we don't really have the funding to continue. We do it because that's what the Lord asks of us. It's not about the money. It's about what Christ asks us to do. So let's keep that in mind. Father, we thank you for all these prayers and for all those that are suffering, especially my friend Joseph Gray, Lord. Joseph Gray's in his last days. He knows that. He was told he's got 6 to 8 weeks to live. Please pray for Joseph. He's been ill, very, very ill, and hasn't gotten the care he's needed over the years. And Joseph's been a good person. Just pray for him and that he continues to have the peace that he has. Lord, we thank you for all that you give us this day, our opportunity to share the gospel, and for those that come out and listen. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. So, here's the thing with this, the message this morning is, it's two-part, folks. The Great Commandment is really in two parts, and many of us forget the second part. The first part is that we're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. The second part is that we're supposed to love one another, and that means to love them as ourself and love our neighbors as ourself, love those around us, and neighbors doesn't mean just the person next door. That means the people we don't really want to like. We still have to love them. We still have to show them respect and decency. And a lot of people don't know how to go about doing that, and that's why I decided that this morning this would be a good message to get into, because I'm as guilty as the next person. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. It isn't easy in the flesh to love those that despitefully use us, that don't support us as Christians. They don't even like us as Christians. But yet we're supposed to love them anyway. Does that make sense to you? Because, see, Jesus did that exact thing. He loved us even though we were the worst of the worst, and he put all of that other stuff aside. My feelings, my emotions, I don't like how they use me, they abuse me, and whatever. And Jesus, which is what we're supposed to be like, friends, we're supposed to be like Christians, right, which are like Christ. So if we love one another, even if they're our enemies, he's faithful and just to take care of us and provide for us and make sure that we have the strength to do that. I know it's hard because I do it all the time. There are people I meet along the way. Believe me when I tell you, some of them, they get under my skin so much, I almost want to go back to who I was 30 years ago, 35 years ago. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be who I used to be. I want to be who Christ made me today. And we have to be able to say, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it because God said so. And that's why I brought this message up. If we desire to be forgiven, we must have a forgiven spirit. If you want to get to heaven, you want to be forgiven, that means you have to forgive whether you want to or not. That may seem difficult, but we're just to do it. And remember that saying back when, just do it? That wasn't that far back. Well, that's what Christ says. It's not what you want. It's what I'm commanding you and telling you this is a rule as a guide to do for our sake because it's a commandment of the Lord. It's required that we do it. He said, look, he says, if you want to be forgiven, you got to have a forgiven heart. How can you be forgiven if you're not? And I got a bunch of scriptures I'm going to read to you. This isn't just a question of can we do it, but a commandment to do so. We must love each other. If we don't love others, then how are we going to be loved by Christ, right? Or expect him to love us if we're not lovable? In fact, the Bible says show yourself friendly, right? If you want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. If you're always walking around with a chip on your shoulder, nobody wants to be around you. I mean, come on. We've been around people like that before. I know a few. I could, just as I'm saying, it popped right into my mind. I don't want to be that way. I want the Lord to love me because he taught me to love others. If we don't love others, how are we going to do this? Now, if the Lord tells us to do something and we don't, or we neglect to obey his teachings, aren't we in retrospect really just saying, I don't have to or I won't? Isn't that what we're really saying? We're being stubborn, right? Now, who's the most stubborn of all? Satan was. Why? Because he thought he could rule heaven, and they kicked him out as a fallen angel. When you get to that point where you don't need Jesus Christ, you're not going to do what he says, guess what? Jesus don't need you in his family. And some people say to me, well, that's not true. Jesus would never throw you out. No, he's not going to leave you nor forsake you. But those are his rules. Those are his. I used to say to my kids, because they come from a broken family. My first wife and I were divorced, and my children were coming to my house. And I used to say, these are my rules in my house. You'll follow them, and if you don't like it, you can stay home with your mother. And I meant it then, and I mean it now. There's a certain point where I go, this is how things will be done in my house. For me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And that's what we should be doing, serving the Lord in love and serving others in love. Now look at Matthew 22, 34 through 40. It says this, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The first and great commandment is that we're to love the Lord so much that we're willing to do whatever he says. Why? Because we trust him. Why? Because he loves us first and we love him. And if we love him with our heart, soul, and mind, then we don't mind following through with the second commandment. The second commandment of that same part of Matthew, which starts in verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, it says. Everything is hung on that. Now you think about that. There's some people around me, my neighborhood, that I'm not real pleased with. But you know what? What does the Lord want us to do? Pray about it. He wants us to talk to him so that we can have a joy in our heart, a peace in our heart that says, okay, we may not get along. I may not like you, but I do love you. And that's what Jesus said. He said, look, there's plenty of things you've done in your life I certainly do not like, but I still love you. What did he say when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's what we should be doing when we're thinking of those out in the world that don't do things the way we do, or they live differently than we do, or they act like they're worldly, or they are worldly, and they want nothing to do with Christianity. We still have to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Give me the joy in my heart to love them regardless if I want to or not. Now look here. It says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you're a prophet of Jesus Christ, which you should be, because you should be out professing Jesus Christ, You should be out sharing the gospel. That makes you a prophet, because a prophet is someone that professes Jesus Christ. And thereon hangs all the laws and all the commandments of them two things. Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your body, and soul, right? Or mind and soul. And then to love the Lord so much so that you would love your neighbors as yourself. How can you love anybody else if you don't love yourself? If you claim to love Jesus Christ, if you claim to be a Christian, then you know what I'm talking about, folks. You know in your heart where you're guilty and where you're not. I know, because I know exactly where I'm guilty. And every man, woman, and child knows when they don't do right, they know they're doing something wrong. So you know that living the way you do in the flesh is not Christ-like. Now let's look at this one. Here's one, too. It says in Matthew 6:14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours, your trespasses." He says right here, he says, you have to forgive them. You can say no, you can hold grudges, you can do whatever you want. That's your flesh. And now you have to remember, who are you serving? Your flesh, yourself, which is Satan, because he controls the flesh. The flesh loves to war against the spirit, folks. If you have a right spirit with Christ, even though you don't like the way things are done around you, fleshly, worldly, whatever, if they're not Christ-like, if they're not spiritual-like, that's an understanding thing to not like what they do. That's understandable. But you have to love the individual. The Bible also says, hate the sinner, the sin, not the sinner. You're to love the sinner and hate the sin. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus was mad at them when he threw over the tables, he was mad at them because they were being sinners, using his house as a place for sale versus worship. He didn't hate the people. He hated what they were doing. That's why he did that. And that's how we should be. We don't have to like it, folks. We can hate the sin, but we're to love the sinner. Now look here. It says, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Do you want to be forgiven or do you not? The scriptures teaches us that we don't have to love it. But guess what? We're very empty inside if we don't. If we don't have love in our heart, we're an empty shell. That's what the Bible says. And we can go around talking all the Christianity all day long, all week long, for the rest of our life, 365 days out of the year, if that's what you want to do. But if you ain't living it and you ain't loving people, you're an empty shell. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, that means even though I talk with someone with knowledge and with a good spirit and have not charity, which is love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're a phony. You're not true. You're just making noise. You're not showing the love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, which is sharing the gospel, even though I can share it, and understand all mysteries, even though I know the whole Bible and I can share the gospel real well, and I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I know that I'm going to heaven, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not love, it says charity, but that's what the word charity means is love, I am nothing. That's what he says. I am nothing. That means you're not even a Christian. You're nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not, what? I have not charity or love, it profit me nothing no matter what I do as a Christian. Nothing I do if I don't have love does it matter. Because you know what? If you don't have love for the world, for the worldly people, for the fleshly people, then you have nothing no matter what you do. God says you're nothing. Charity suffereth long, love suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, love envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, love vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up. You see, we should go around loving one another irregardless and just love them and love them and love them as much as we can. I know it's difficult, folks. I'm just as guilty. I'm telling you, I'm reading this from the Bible. This isn't something I wrote. I'm not telling you I'm perfect. I'm not telling you I can do this every day. I'm telling you, I pray out to God to give me the strength to change and be that person he wants me to be. Doth not behave itself, it says, verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. You see, we should be quiet and still and watch and still pray, regardless, no matter whether the people are trying to provoke us to anger or they want us to be evil, wicked, and minded, then we just sit back and say, no, the Lord is with me. He said to love him no matter what. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and what? Endureth all things. That means we're to endure to the end, endure all these things that really, if we had it our way, our fleshly way, we turn our back on people and say, we're not going to bother listening to you. I don't care about you. I don't love you. I don't care what happens to you. And that's not Christ-like, because Christ says we're to care about them. We're supposed to make sure. Now, does it mean we go get ourselves into an argument with them, or does it mean that we should go fight with them? No, because the Bible even says share the gospel with them. Let them know you love them. And if they don't want to accept it, you're supposed to wipe off your feet and move on. But it doesn't mean we turn our back on those that we think wronged us, despitefully used us, or anything like that. It says here, it says, listen, it says, doth not behave itself unseemly and doesn't do it for yourself. Seeketh her, not her own. In other words, we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for Christ. We beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And then it says this in verse 8. Love, or charity, never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But see, love never does. People know when we love them and we treat them right, even no matter what happens, they know we loved them. Now, they may not show it. They may not be receptive of it. They might even be ignorant towards us. But if our love is genuine, they can never say we didn't love them. What I get from and take away from all of this in scriptures is this, that we are responsible to forgive others. To do so, we need to demonstrate love to do so. That means we have to love them. If we don't demonstrate it, then how can we even show our love? Now, if you are wise and use the scriptures wisely, you will cross-reference and search for the answers to what you are required of from the Lord. That takes time and effort, but when I do so, I come up with things like this. I found this in Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, what did I read to you? It tells us to love people no matter what. And I do that because I've gone through, by the renewing of my mind, by changing, and by accepting what the Lord says, because that's his will, not mine. Verse 3 says this, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man, woman, and child has the same amount of faith given to them in Jesus Christ to trust the Lord when we don't want to love people even when we find it hard to do. It's the grace that he gave to us, the mercy that he gave to us. He showed us that, and he'll show it to the others. But we have to be able to love one another. Verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, they're not all going to be the same as us. But we're all going to be the body of church. We're all going to be the body of God. We're all going to be the body of Christ. And how can we do that if we're all going to be always nitpicking and always pointing at somebody's faults? There isn't a house built that every piece of material within that building is exactly the same. Everything is different. You have wood, glass, stone, cement, whatever, okay, metal. It's all different materials, so that's what God's family is made up of, all different people, all different walks of life. So we being many are one body, it says in verse 5, in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Finally, if we are new creatures in Christ, we become different from our old life. Colossians 3:9 says this, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That means don't lie to one another. Don't act like you're something you're not. Don't try to think you're somebody else. In fact, The last verses I read, it says, don't be puffed up. Verse 10, it says this, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. That means the knowledge of Christ in us, because God created us, we should put on that new knowledge, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ all in all. When I read that, you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, look, it doesn't matter how we act or who we are, but Christ is in us all. It says in the Bible that the Lord put his word in us. He actually put right and wrong in us. We choose who we're going to serve, right or wrong. Verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering. And 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Verse 14, and above all these things put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness, because perfectness comes from love, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. What does it say? It says, let the peace of God. How do you get the peace of God in your heart without love? You'll never have it. God is so good that he has placed a book in our hands that teaches us all we need to know on how to live righteously so we can become wise in the word. We can be forging of others if we live differently from how the world lives. How do we do that? We have to be willing, just like work in a garden. You got to work that soil, get it just right so your plants grow right. It's just like our life. We do the same thing. We continue to work through the word, until we become like new creatures in Christ, and then we learn to love one another, even our enemies we can love. I thank you for letting me share the gospel with you this morning. Our time is limited. I want to play another song before I go. I thank you so much for letting me do this with you every week, folks. God bless you, and thank you for coming out and listening to the word. It's important to hear God's gospel. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. That's our last song, okay? If you want, come find me over on William Preach Bill Barnes over on Facebook. I'm always there. I go in the morning, I go in there in the night, and I put in a message in the morning, I put one in the evening. I do that so people can have a little bit of the gospel if they don't have a Bible or don't know how to use one or would like to learn more. So, folks, please come out and listen every Sunday. Thank you for being here. God bless you and have a good day. And here's our last song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." I'm sorry, that was our last song. I got a different song for you, that's right. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I'm sorry. It's about 2 minutes long. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a great day, and we'll see you again next Sunday. Jesus is calling, folks. I hope you'll come. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a good day.